There's a place where lovers go to cry their troubles away, and they call it Lonesome Town, where the broken heart stays. You can buy a dream or two to last you all through the years, and the only price you pay is a heart full of tears. Going down to Lonesome Town, where the broken heart stays. Going down to Lonesome Town to cry my troubles away.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show, powered by Dupree Financial Group. Here's our host, Tom Dupree.
Boy, does that sum up Lexington, Kentucky right now after the game Thursday. Lonesome Town, brokenhearted, drink your troubles away.
I think they said something about money, too.
It said you can buy a dream or two.
There's no more
dreams to be bought right now.
Well, the dream of a 2012 championship, maybe. I don't know.
2012? That already happened. But anyway, yeah. This is Ricky Nelson. Who remembers Ricky? Ozzy and Harriet show when we were growing up. And I love Ricky. Yes, Lonesome Town, Lexington, Kentucky, right now. What did everybody think they were going to be doing this weekend? Obviously not what they are going to be doing.
They're still going to be watching basketball, the team they thought, maybe.
Okay, I'm going to read Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So, someone may say, gee, I do feel ashamed because I put my faith in the UK basketball program. Well, it says here in Scripture, if I put my trust in God, I will never be ashamed. What is shame? Shame is having invested one's thoughts, money, efforts, emotional energy, love into something or someone that lets them down. And this has proven to be the case with the Coach Cal version of the Kentucky Wildcats now for several years, and it's beginning to get to the point where people who get emotionally involved really find that they come up lacking and the loser. I want to do a little bit of I think there's a pattern to some of these things that I'm going to look at to tie some of the things that we talk about politically, and I'm a conservative, and John Calipari is definitely not a conservative. He's a liberal Democrat. And so I'm just going to just take a few things out of the press and then allow you to make some connections, because I certainly do. This one goes back to January of 2021 from Sports Illustrated. Calipari's decision to kneel with his team is worth the blowback from Big Blue's red base. This is a guy named Pat Forde. He's been around for a long time. F-O-R-D-E. Sports Illustrated. Louisville, Kentucky. When he took the knee, John Calipari had to know what was coming. He's lived in Kentucky, one of America's reddest states, since 09. In the November presidential election, Donald Trump captured 62% of the vote in the state and won 110 out of 120 counties. The only exceptions were the two biggest, Jefferson and Fayette, home of U of L and UK. It stands to reason that most of the University of Kentucky's fan base is conservative Republicans and were overwhelmingly not in favor of athletes kneeling in protest during the national anthem, especially college athletes. And yet there was Cal joining his Kentucky players on one knee before the Wildcats played at Florida on Saturday, 3 days after the deadly insurrection in Washington, D.C. Well, we're now told it wasn't an insurrection. So that's I love how the press sort of jumps the shark. It's just a peaceful way to protest and raise awareness of things that have happened recently, Kentucky Senator Olivier Saar said this week. I do not remember that guy, just like I don't remember 80% of the players that passed through this program. Calipari said the players wanted him to join them, so he did. I did kneel with them because I support the guys, he said, later equivocating that it was probably not a real good time for the team to take a knee. Okay, John, there's a thing called leadership. That means that you don't always do exactly what a bunch of 20-year-olds ask you to do. And then Pat Forde says it was absolutely the time to make the statement. Risks and all, maybe this was the eternally combative Cal picking a new fight with his own constituency. In that moment, a coach whose approval rating already had plunged after a 1-6 season start, worst for Kentucky in more than a century, took even more on his shoulders. In the authoritarian world of college sports, some coaches would have vetoed the idea altogether. Others would have tried to talk their players out of making a statement at a charged moment in time. Still others would have approved it but not participated. And they go on to praise Coach Cal for taking a knee. Interesting. What has been our record in NCAA tournament appearances and those sort of things since then? I'm not a guy who goes into statistics, but that was 2021. It's now 2024. We have not fared well. Am I saying that it's quid pro quo? Not exactly, but I do look at results. More recently, John Calipari has a podcast, and it's called John Calipari's Ways to Win Podcast. And this was on a website literally 3 days ago called SB Nation, A Sea of Blue, article by a guy named Chris Beesmore. Barack Obama picks UK to make it back to the Final Four while on John Calipari's podcast. With the first round of NCAA tournament games set to begin on Thursday, many people are creating their brackets to see who will win the national championship in their bracket. Former President Barack Obama was a recent guest on John Calipari's Ways to Win podcast. He should also call it Ways to Win and Lose podcast. The show is hosted by Calipari and Craig Robinson, the executive director of the National Association of Basketball Coaches. It is about how Calipari and Robinson will use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. Ooh. I think I'd take a pass. In this episode, Barack Obama discussed his picks and why he has each team making it as far as he did. And Obama has the Kentucky Wildcats making it all the way to the NCAA championship game, but falling to the number one overall seed, the UConn Huskies. Hopefully, Obama is right about the Cats making the Final Four for the first time since 2015, but wrong about losing in the title game. Okay, so Barack Obama, Barry Sotero, was just recently on John Calipari's podcast. Okay, so let me ask you, I mean, I don't know about these things, but how is it that John Calipari is focusing on doing a podcast with Obama on it right in the middle of tournament season? I mean, how does he have time to do that? That's a question right there. But then the fact that he has Obama on there, who some say is really the author behind what we're seeing go on in the Biden administration and the craziness of how our government is descending into absolute dysfunctionality. That's another thing right there. So you take these sorts of things, and it's interesting, Ways to Win, and he's taking his wisdom on knowing how to win on the court and transferring it to real life. Well, one thing that I have said it, and I keep saying it, is that you don't want liberals handling your money, because it will go away, teaching your kids, because they will get screwed up, and running anything. And here we have a podcast by a guy who is a liberal, gotta be, purporting to use his on-court wisdom and his winning ways to tell you how to do stuff. Meanwhile, Mitch Barnhart, Mitch, do you have any idea what goes on with this whole thing? And for some reason, the biggest problems here are the Kentucky fans, who, like good little meth addicts that they are, good little crack addicts, they will do anything and go through any sort of paroxysm to maybe get a little bit of hope. And you've got a guy, keep in mind, you live in Kentucky. Coach Cal has a residence in Kentucky, but he doesn't really live here. He lives in another world, inhabited by people like Barack Obama, you know, Usher, all the NBA executives.
Who was it? Drake was just here recently.
Yeah. Well, they're friends. I don't have a problem with that, but don't think that Calipari lives in Kentucky or shares your values. Now, the thing I really want to talk about here is, you know, we would forgive Calipari all of this, all his politics that might not line up. If you're listening to this show, the chances are your politics are probably not liberal Democrat. His are. Let's don't kid ourselves. So if you're listening to this show, you may be a UK Wildcat fan also, but you think differently than the folks who are running the program. And evidently Mitch Barnhart, who, you know, is supposedly a conservative Christian, which one would think meant he might have more conservative politics, just tends to think all this stuff is just fine. Or he's already washed his hands of it and said, I don't have anything to do with that. The point I'm making, if you think that this wisdom that is supposedly being used to win games, because that's what the podcast says, and the real games that need to be won aren't getting won. Number one, the podcast is a misrepresentation of what's really going on. And how do you think that somebody that thinks this way and has a Barack Obama on his podcast, who is the author behind what we're seeing in the Biden administration, is ever going to put anything together that actually works? So if you have hope that this is going to get better, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. It will not change. I had basketball tickets for years. I gave my tickets up over 10 years ago because it was obvious to me what was happening here. There are some people who believe that it's their patriotic and almost religious duty to be big blue fans no matter what. And guess what you're doing? You are simply enabling more bad behavior. Let me tell you something. I think I know a little bit about how Mitch Barnhart's mind works. One word, money. The death knell for the Joker Phillips football coaching career was that Vanderbilt game, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years ago. I went to it at Commonwealth Stadium. They said there were 20-something, 5,000 people there. Honey, I was there. If there were 10,000 people in that stadium, I'd be amazed. And we got beat 40-0. We have come to that point with the basketball program. The only thing that will ever affect Mitch Barnhart, regardless of what kind of high-minded speech he gives you about ethics and morals and this and that, it's money. If he sees that the program is now beginning to suffer financially, and people are not coming to the games, then things will change. Not until people still pay big sums of money, you know, to be in the lower arena and have their picture on TV. But that's fine if that's what you want to do and that's how you want to spend your money. But understand, you're enabling this crazy show to keep going on. And really what has to happen is that they have to declare it a loss. They got to start over. Calipari has to go. Barnhart has to go. It's time for him to retire.
And $33 million.
And $33 million has to go. And somebody, and it's not going to be Capiluto because he does not have the backbone to stand up to this. He does. The guy walks in the room and you don't even know he's there. It's going to have to be somebody. And if somebody doesn't step up, and I think that somebody is Joe Kraft. I don't know of anybody else that has the gravitas that he's got. But that's not for me to decide. But someone has to step up and say, you know, I'm going to take control of this thing. It's in free fall. The franchise is in danger of being lost. And they've got to walk in and say, this is what we're going to do. And we're getting rid of Kyle. We're getting rid of Barnhart. And we're going to start
all lifetime contracts ever again.
Lifetime contracts. We're going to raise some money. And want to start from.
I'm talking about never giving lifetime contracts. We also are.
The only person that should get a lifetime contract is me.
Okay. That's not going to happen. Never mind that the women's basketball coach, they just gave a 3-year extension to and fired her after the first year of her extension.
I don't want Barnhart running my
business. It's not a good plan.
I don't want him running my business.
All right, we got to jump out for a break. You've been listening to The Tom Dupree Show with our host, Tom Dupree. If you'd like to hear more of The Tom Dupree Show, go to DupreeFinancial.com on the radio tab. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Going down to Lonesome Town, where the broken hearts stay.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. A few months ago, we began publicly predicting lower interest rates. At the time, it seemed like a strange thing to predict, given that some of the most well-known names on Wall Street were saying the opposite. Events have proved us correct. If you disregarded our call and kept money in cash and short-term obligations like CDs and money funds, you've left quite a bit on the table. We warned against becoming complacent. When the Federal Reserve begins to cut, rates will drop quickly. We were right. To find out what we think the next move is, call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and make an appointment with us. Also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and your favorite podcast platform.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. Chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. People came from miles around, everyone was there. Yoko brought a walrus, there was magic in the air. And over in the corner, much to my surprise, Mr. Hughes hidden Dylan's shoes, wearing his disguise. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La-da-da-da, la-da-da-da. Them all the old songs, thought that's why they came. No one heard the music, we didn't look the same. I said hello to Mary Lou, she belongs.
what ifs. Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show, powered by Dupree Financial Group. Here's our host, Tom Dupree.
This is a song, really, it was the last song Ricky Nelson put out that I know of before he died. He died in 1985. He had a DC-3 that evidently had problems with the tail, and caught on fire or something, and wrecked in somewhere in East Texas. That pedal steel is a guy named Tom Brumley from, Ricky Nelson had a band called the Stone Canyon Band.
Anyway, that's what it says. This song is the Stone Canyon Band.
Yeah. Anyway, miss him bad. All right. I want to go to a little side story that people from Lexington will definitely not hear about. But Kentucky was beaten by a much smaller, lower-ranked Oakland team. Now, I thought, as did probably 90% of the people, that Oakland was Oakland, California.
I did, too.
It was Oakland, Michigan. Did you not know that?
I did not.
Okay. It's in Auburn Hills. It's basically a suburb of Detroit. And the kid that hit the 10 threes against us is a kid named Jack or John Golke, G-O-H-L-K-E. He's a fifth-year senior. He spent 4 years at a place called Hillsdale College. I've been to Hillsdale College. It's in Hillsdale, Michigan. It's in southern Michigan, just kind of across the Indiana border, way out in the middle of nowhere. Hillsdale College is a really cool place.
And a very good school.
It's a good school, but it's very conservative. But that would make it sound like it's like Bob Jones University, which it's not.
No, I think it's challenging academically.
Unbelievably challenging academically. I went up there because I'm a donor to Hillsdale College. My wife and I are. And we've given quite a bit to Hillsdale College over the years. We've also given quite a bit to University of Kentucky. And it's probably about even between the two. I want to read Hillsdale's mission statement. Hillsdale College is an independent institution of higher learning founded in 1844 by men and women grateful to God for the inestimable blessings resulting from civil and religious liberty and believing that the diffusion of learning is essential to the perpetuity of these blessings. It pursues the stated object of the founders to furnish all persons who wish, irrespective of nation, color, sex, literary, scientific, and theological education, outstanding among American colleges, and to combine with this such moral and social instruction as will best develop the minds and improve the hearts of its pupils. As a non-sectarian Christian institution, Hillsdale College maintains by precept and example the immemorial teachings and practices of the Christian faith. The college also considers itself a trustee of our Western philosophical and theological inheritance, tracing to Athens and Jerusalem, a heritage finding its clearest expression in the American experiment of self-government under law. By training the young in the liberal arts, Hillsdale College prepares students to become leaders worthy of that legacy. By encouraging the scholarship of its faculty, it contributes to the preservation of that legacy for future generations. By publicly defending that legacy, it enlists the aid of other friends of free civilization and thus secures the conditions of its own survival independent. One of those conditions is it takes no government money of any kind. Okay, this guy that scored 32 points against the number, whatever we're rated now, we were
third seeded.
Okay, whatever we were ranked in the nation. That puts you in basically the top 15 teams in the nation. These guys were. So this guy single-handedly, he scores 32 points.
It would be top 12 because they're four.
Okay, well, all right. Yeah. The bottom line is this guy is a four-year graduate of this school. He cannot have gone to this school for 4 years and been in conflict with the vision that I just read to you. It's interesting. How many schools out there even come close to not taking government money? I mean, if you walk down the halls of, say, the Student Center at the University of Kentucky, it is a shrine to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's all about all people of all faiths, regardless of whatever. We accept the mealy mouth, kind of milquetoast squirming that goes on among the UK administration over something like a mural in Memorial Hall. They don't. Now, there are people within the university department, teachers I know, that have a backbone of sorts. But they're in a miasmatic institution that wants to please anybody and everybody and sucks in government money, especially in some of its programs, like in the medical side, pharmacy, you name it. They couldn't make it without the government money and all sorts of government money. Hillsdale, on the other hand, is dedicated to small government and higher economic principles, higher cultural principles. I find it interesting that a graduate, a four-year graduate who took another, was able to play another year for this team, Oakland, was able to basically single-handedly, I mean, they scored 80 points, keep them in the game. And it was never, to me, my mind, in doubt. You know, under the Calipari type of coaching, you don't play defense. You talk about going for 50-50 balls, but you do it some of the time. When there was a sequence early in the first half where Oakland was able to get off four or five shots in one possession, Kentucky couldn't get a rebound at all. I think Oakland had three or four offensive rebounds in a row. Right there, that told me these guys are not going to win tonight.
And their tallest person,
yeah,
was how tall?
Not, I don't know.
I think the very tallest.
We were just
flat-footed or something.
And when you play for a guy like Calipari, it's been obviously telegraphed that the end game here, regardless of what you want to say or do, is not winning games. It's putting people in the NBA. I don't care what the podcast says, but I will tell you that I have a strange sort of satisfaction at seeing a four-year graduate of Hillsdale College, to whom we have contributed because we believe in those principles. Those principles are not being championed at the University of Kentucky, anything but.
Well, and the irony is the kid that did that, I don't even think he ever hit double digits at Division II Hillsdale.
Yeah, there was something about this kid. It was destiny. And as long as we embrace this kind of ideology, not only at UK as a school, and it's shot through with it, but with the athletics department, especially Mitch Barnhart, John Calipari, we're not going to one day wake up and be successful, because the principles that we govern by are contrary to good sense, and they're the same principles that Obama is feeding the Biden administration that's running the country into the ground. It's exactly the same. It's also the same principles that we see in our city government here in Lexington. This cannot work long term. You know, you can say, you know, Tom Dupree, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, yeah, I'm obviously going to be in the minority in a town like Lexington, but just let's look and see if what we're doing is having any success. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think it's a big blanket definition. Education as a rule is very, very liberal. Educators tend to lean that way.
Doesn't have to be.
It's not that way at
Hillsdale.
I know, but that's the exception to the rule as opposed to the rule.
Okay, well, why is the rule the rule? Because the rule doesn't work. I mean, you know that in situations, we had Riley Gaines on this show, and she was talking about how even at her own school, she did not get,
which was the University of Kentucky,
support for what she was trying to do. They gave in just like everybody else, and they give in with Calipari. Did anybody ever say anything to Calipari when he knelt with the players when we were at a time and he never said, well, maybe it wasn't such a good idea? Did Barnhart or anybody in his office say, hey, that's not a thing we want to see happening? I mean, I'd just be interested in knowing, because, and I would love to have Mitch Barnhart on this show to defend his record, because he might be able to convince me. I mean, every time I get down on Andy Barr, I have him on the show and he wins me back, because he's more persuasive and convincing than I am. And then in another week, I'm pissed off at him again. But that doesn't, at least.
Well, I'm in the same camp with Andy. I convince you, and then you get unhappy with me. So I understand how that works.
Yeah, this isn't about him. the point is, I got 60 years, almost 60, invested in following UK athletics. I mean, I remember getting into Memorial Coliseum. I took my dad's Argus C3 rangefinder camera loaded with Kodak Tri-X 400 ASA film with no flash.
Good grief.
And took action pictures at like 1/300th of a second from up in the crowd with a telescopic lens of Dan Issel, and took it back to my neighbor who knew how to push film way past its ASA. You would overdevelop it. And we got newspaper quality pictures. And
that was before they had all the rights that they have now, where you would have to pay a fee.
Well,
to
I wasn't
take that
selling
picture.
Them to anybody. Oh,
I know, but I still don't think you can have a nice camera up in the stands nowadays.
Well, the point is, what I'm trying to tell you is, I have been a UK athletics fan long before John Calipari or Mitch Barnhart or Eli Capiluto had ever heard of the University of Kentucky, and I will be long after they are all history. So who has more invested, you could say, well, they do because they've got all that money and the jobs and everything like that. But who has more of themselves and their history invested in UK athletics? I think I do. At least I qualify because I've been following it for so long. And a lot of the people that could step up and say something, like you know who, they don't, because maybe they are afraid they'll make somebody mad. We know people, prominent people, who could step up and say something that this isn't working, and they're not doing it. And, you know, and I'm really not the right guy to be saying this, but because nobody else seems to be, and even the sports.
Oh, everybody's saying it. Everybody's saying it. It's papers, but, Facebook. But,
honey, I've been saying this. I've been saying this for a while.
I'm exhausted with it.
Well, you might be exhausted with it, but I'm trying to put, I'm connecting it to the politics of the situation.
So, you know,
which is a way of looking at the world that doesn't work. And that's to say that this will never work. It's not ever going to work. I concluded it wasn't going to work 10 years ago when I let my tickets go.
So after this one and done thing has been going on for God knows how many years, and it's known that a lot of times what wins games and championships is experience.
That's not what it's about.
Well, let me finish.
Don't believe that he cares about that.
So let me finish. So last night I deliberately, despite how I can't stand all the aftermath of this, I listened to the coach's show just to hear his sound, tone of his voice, the demeanor and everything. Well, he says, which I'm sure many of our listeners have heard, that maybe it's because his young teams are facing 24-year-olds or facing older players. Maybe that's so you put it back on the
he kids. Won't take responsibility for that.
That is exhausting.
He said his team had not had time to gel. I remember, did you hear him say that?
But I've also heard him say, and the players themselves say how close-knit they were and how they enjoyed spending each, with time
it's
with
just
each
a
other.
Way to avoid who responsibility knows? No who? I can tell you, you can't say who knows.
Oh, it's just, it's all.
I know you got to not worry about how you feel about it. Look at the objective side of it. This guy believes, number one, he is a guy that's wedded to the ideas that are ruining our country, government ideas that are ruining our country. And number two, all he's told you, he only really cares about the money. Because that's what is shipping players to the NBA. That's a money game. That's China. That's, you know, big money. And
China.
So
how does China?
They're very involved with you. Just look into it. Look into how much business the NBA does in China. Okay. The point is, I've done the best I can to draw that. Now, most people in this town who are Democrats are going to say, oh, no, it doesn't have anything to do with it. Well, just follow the results. Just look at the results. I have no reason. I got no dog in this fight. I'm not a season ticket holder. What we've contributed to the university has not been to the athletic department. It's been to the medical center. Out of respect for
you are invested because you said that you had spent 60 years
emotionally
it.
Invested, yeah. But not financially. The my guy over there was Dr. Karf, which I love.
You can't please everyone.
He did a
I'm
lot of good
you.
Things.
You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show, powered by Dupree Financial Group. If you'd like to hear more of the Tom Dupree Show, not necessarily about what we've been talking about. We cover a lot
of
subjects.
We're going to do another show next week on the same topic.
Oh, Lord, no. We're powered by Dupree Financial Group. Go to our website, DupreeFinancial.com, under the radio tab. We'll be back in just a few minutes with our financial hour. Stay tuned. All right now, I learned my lesson well.